So let's tell our listeners who we're listening to here. Okay. So first of all, this is WSLR, low power FM 96.5 in Sarasota, Florida. Peter Dunn has a web blog site, which is dailysource.com. And Peter, when we spoke before, you mentioned how this blog site, how it got started, why you started this. I don't have a bio specifically about you, so you have to sort of introduce yourself here.
Right. Peter, yes, follow on with the Washington school experience and the tutoring and what that was like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll answer the first question first, sort of my background bio info and how we got started with the site. The bio for me is basically I was a reporter for the Washington Bureau of the Dallas Times Herald, and I was also a community reporter for several community papers in Massachusetts. And after that, I left. I went into retail for a while. I ran a couple of stores, and then I was actually the executive coach for the vice president of Google for a couple of years, and I basically helped them during their startup phase. I started the site for a few reasons. One is that back in the time that I was in school and also doing journalism work, the field was already going downhill drastically at that point, and I decided that something needed to be done. But at the time, I didn't have the resources to do it. I actually had the idea to start a national newspaper that would...
So you were frustrated with journalism, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
How could that be?
I know you guys are as well. So.
Oh, I love it.
So when was this?
Well, it is a love-hate relationship for all of us.
When did you come to that realization? When was that? Was that before or after the start of the war?
That was, this is where actually the first realization I had was about 20 years ago when I was working in the field, and that's actually why I left the field of journalism, is it was going so far downhill at that time. But, you know, I was only about 24, 25 years old, and I didn't have a lot of resources to do much about it. And also, actually, the Internet had not really been invented at that point. It was around 93, 94. And so there was real no opportunity to act on it. And where it really came to a head to move in the direction of doing this project, dailysource.org, is that the Iraq war began. And I realized, you know, it had hit the stage that the media was involved partially in creating a war in which innocent people were dying and a huge amount of resources were being spent by our country. And I realized that the media did play a role in creating the phenomenon that became the war, the fear and the printing of misinformation and things of that sort. And I just realized at that point, you know, something, you know, needed to be done to get better information to people, more accurate information to people. And the interesting thing is that in retrospect, even my Republican friends and people who were very, very in support of the war when it first came out are now looking back in retrospect and saying, gosh, I wish we had better information at the time to make our decision on. So that's how it got started, and that was sort of the impetus to spur me into action on it. But the idea had been breeding for close to 20 years at that point.
All right, let me ask you just a little bit more about the site and that, and then we'll get into some of the other things. Tell us about your staff and how you keep going, of the volunteers. Who's there with you?
Okay, well, we have a really an incredible staff. We have some of the best journalists in the country. In fact,
go ahead, name some names
right now,
for us.
Tom Regan, he's the outgoing executive director of the Online News Association, which is a great organization. They basically cater to every website, large and small, that's working in online news. If you want to check it out, you can, you know, Google them, Online News Association.
Are they like the old AP of they provide stories to all of the retail outlets?
They're really more oriented towards training and cultivation of ideas, sharing of knowledge, you know, that whole range of different things, supporting organizations and connecting people together.
I'll put you on the spot. What's the single hottest story they've come up with that's in the mainstream news?
No, so this is a great question, because they're not about creating news at all. Online News Association is anybody who's involved in online news can belong to that association and basically cultivate ideas together and join in supporting each other in their different projects. So they're not creating news whatsoever.
I didn't say creating, but I mean, what did they cover that brought things to the forefront that perhaps the mainstream media might not have otherwise?
Okay, well, that's a great question as well. And again, they don't actually. And sorry to contradict you in any way, shape, or form, but they don't actually.
There's
try
no
to
controversy
bring,
on this show.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. they don't actually try to bring forward stories. They're more of, for example. If you guys, for example, shifted your site like drastically in the direction of doing like online news each day, they would be there to support you in what you're trying to do. And the other members in the organization, you could network with them and say, I have an idea for this. What do people think about that? And they also have training as well. They have different training programs for people who are going into online news or who are in online news to help them better use the medium and get better at what they're doing.
All right, so while yeah. you're on the topic, we discussed sure. a little bit of this and how we got started in
yeah.
a similar way. We're frustrated about the mainstream media.
Great,
and what
I
we decided,
that.
we had an opportunity. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said I thought that. I had that impression from
yeah.
everything.
So yeah. we went a completely different direction. We had an opportunity to start a radio station here, which we did. We've been on the air for about 18 months. And what I wanted to do was hook up with you guys and those type of organizations and have you do the legwork and dig out the stories and help people digging out those stories, and then we would put it on the air and try to disseminate it and form a partnership there.
That is great. That's brilliant. That's what it's about right now, is helping each other out. Everybody's trying to do a piece of their work. You guys are getting it out through radio. We're getting it out through online, and it's really about participating together and making it happen. So I'm really excited that you guys are doing this.
And I also want to yeah. just answer Steve's question that the Gonzalez attorney scandal was broken on the blogs. That news story wouldn't be there. Nobody would be talking about it.
Yeah.
Do you know which blog broke it?
No, I don't actually know. Was it Daily Coast or another
TPM,
one?
TPM, Talking Points Memo.
Oh,
they
wow.
dug it out, and then the rest
wow.
is history. And everybody's jumped on it since then.
Amazing. That's incredible.
On that subject, Peter, tell us a little bit about how blogs like Daily Source or Daily Source actually works. I mean, do you have subscribers? Do they pay to be on? Is it a open
sure.
access?
Sure, absolutely. We're actually 100% open access. Anybody can come to us anytime we want. And what we basically do is we search the internet for the best material that we can find, whether it be op-ed material like columns and editorials, or whether it be news articles of different sorts. We also, run blogs on our site. We run video content. We have absolutely amazing photography, some incredible photography every day. We have a section called The World in Photos, which always has three amazing photos from around the world. We have another section called Photo of the Day. And then we actually have another section, which you guys would absolutely love, and I'm sure your listeners would love, which is kind of like surreal news. We call it bits and pieces. But it's kind of like news of the weird stuff, odds and ends.
Are you calling us weird? You might on.
No, come on. Yeah, that's right. So it's really covering everything that's out there, and we have a staff of volunteered and paid staff, which do
like
nothing.
Like 16 volunteers, right?
Yes. We're actually up to, I believe, 19 volunteers at this point. We've had three new ones join in the last week, and they're all incredibly committed to what we're doing. They all work at least 5 or 6 hours a week volunteering. Some of them work as many as 20 to 25 hours a week volunteering.
Let's say I wanted to volunteer. How would I get in touch? How would I join your organization?
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Two things is that they can call me up if they want to. My cell phone number is 617-459-7709. Or the other thing is a person can go on the website, dailysource.org, anytime they want to, and there's links on there which have our email address and how to contact us about volunteering. For anybody who's listening right now, it's info@dailysource.org. And basically just send us an email. We can send you, more information on the particular openings that we have and the different roles and responsibilities that there are. It's as simple as that, and just apply, and we'll consider it, and then get you going.
I want to follow up a little on Larry's question about Who pays for this? Do you get advertising? Is it volunteers completely? Yeah, or?
That is a great question. We're fundraising right now at the moment. So anybody who wants to help fund us, please contact us. You can contact us at the number I mentioned, 617-459-7709, or email us online. We have lots of information. We have an in-depth business plan about what we're doing. And right now we're actually running on a fairly small grant that we got from a small foundation that we were familiar with. And we're also applying to other foundations for grants as well. But it is also going to take some listener support, as you guys call it, and I know that you guys have done some fundraising there recently yourselves.
Yes, and we want to thank everybody. We pretty much hit our goals. That was great. Thank all our listeners. Yay.
Amazing. Surreal News listeners, you go. Good work. Well, it's really key because when it comes down to funding is even if you get some grants from foundations, from a legalistic standpoint, the IRS is looking to make sure that nonprofits are also being supported by individuals. So even if an organization was so lucky to get a grant that would supply most of its funding, they still actually have to have a certain percentage that comes directly from listeners or from, in our case, it's from readers of our site. So, yeah, we're actually looking for funding right now. So if there's anybody out there, big or small, who wants to pitch in $10 or $10,000 or even $10 million, you know, get in contact with us.
Yes, and we're up against $1 billion on the other side in funds for misinformation from the corporations and the government. That's a big nut to crack.
Now, let me ask you another question.
It's a really big nut to crack, and I think that at some point, and I have some good stats on this, people are going to have to realize that nonprofit media delivers much better results than for-profit media.
Amen to that.
I think they're both needed ultimately, and I think ultimately both are going to exist, but the results are much stronger for nonprofit media. There's actually been studies that, and this was part of my impetus to start it, is around the time that the Iraq War started, there was a major study by the University of Maryland. I'm a little bit hesitant to support them because they're a Georgetown rival in basketball, and basketball is happening right now.
Be careful. I went to Georgetown.
Oh, you did? Oh, no kidding.
Graduate school.
I did too, actually, for undergrad. So
all right.
We have that in common. So at any rate, University of Maryland has a great journalism program and an institute, and they came out with a study a couple years ago that studied where people were getting their news from and what impact it had on their knowledge of news. And it actually found that listeners of or viewers of Fox were twice as likely. Now, this was independent of political orientation, too. They found out whether a person was conservative or progressive or not had no impact on it. But people who were getting their information from Fox News were twice as unlikely to have wrong information about Iraq and things related to Iraq as from the major networks. And then the major networks were twice, if you were viewing the major networks, you were going to be twice as unlikely to have correct information than if you got your news from public radio or from public TV.
And just for an example, misinformation might be they connect Saddam Hussein to 9/11.
Yes, exactly. That was actually one of the they had about, I think, 15 or 20 different questions, and that was one, for example. Was Saddam Hussein involved in creating 9/11? And for example, this is not exactly right, but on average, people who were getting their news from Fox would have said yes, say about 70% of the time. If they were getting it from CBS, NBC, ABC, it would have been about 35% of the time. And then people who were PBS, NPR, or public radio were half of that, about only 17% answered incorrectly. And they actually found that it didn't matter if you were a Republican getting your information from public radio and public TV, you were still more accurate and more on track than you would have been if you were getting it from one of those other sources.
Peter, you're really raising an interesting question here. You were much more gracious in describing the role of the press in the startup of the war in Iraq than I might have been. It was almost infuriating with his embedded all the reporters and everything.
Yes,
Judith Miller.
I have some great stats on that too. there was a study actually that came out just prior to the war starting, which really motivated me a lot, is an organization in New York, which is a media watchdog group called FAIR. They did a study of all of the major networks, and they studied every guest that came on over the course of, I think, a 2 or 3 week period. Don't quote me on that, but roughly a 2 or 3 week period. And they, for each one, they basically were assessing, is the person pro-war, is the person neutral on the war, or is the person opposed to the war. And it was rather staggering. It was something like 95% of the guests were speaking in favor of the war, or, you know, or mildly
really?
Favoring the war.
It's not a surprise.
Yeah, it was staggering. I mean, yeah. Yes, 95%, and then there was a few neutrals and a few who were actually speaking against it. And you would just think in the run-up to a major decision like going to war that they would give greater balance, a greater amount of time and attention, saying, okay, well, let's explore both options. You know,
well,
at the very least.
Well,
yeah.
What we seem to have lost is a, or maybe it's not so much lost when I think about it, but it used to be when I was growing up, there
yeah.
was the kind of the Walter Cronkite view of the news, that there was somebody standing above all of the points of view and kind of presenting an objective view of it. And then it became clear as time went on that, no, everybody's, you know, got skin in the game somewhere. And now with the blogs, you really have to kind of know what the political underpinning of almost any one of them is. So it's really left up to each individual to either find somebody that resonates with their own political beliefs or to draw their own conclusion. It's as if there's no more truth out there in the sense of facts and news. It's all now going to be filtered through some point of view that you either have to share or take into account or make your own decision about.
Yeah, that's an incredible point. It's a real challenge for us as readers now, and I think that we actually do need more Cronkite types in the news who are saying, okay, you know, what is fact, what is opinion? As much as we can humanly do, let's drill down to the fact involved and stand back and look and be very objective. I mean, our mission, truly and honestly, is accuracy and honesty above all else. I tell my editors, like, regardless of our political point of view, any one of us individually and whatever collective, we don't go for a collective point of view, but, you know, if you were to meld all of ours together, you could probably call it a collective. If you say, whatever that is, let's put that aside, you know. Even if our opinion, let's just take Iraq, for example, you know, to a large degree, think that the information going into the war, as we've talked about, is very misguided. Now, that said, I want to be very careful in the current instance at looking at it honestly. You know, if there were to be something that was going very positively, I would want to make sure that we include that along with the different things that are going negatively. Because ultimately, having facts at the core of what we do and having as close to reality as we can get is going to serve everybody.
Now,
no
Peter,
matter what their political point of view is.
Are you saying that truth does not have a liberal bias?
That's cute. That was beautiful.
So, Peter, where does
By the way, I love your sense of humor, too, because I really think it's needed. What we try to do on our site is lighten things up a lot. It's part of why we have the photo of the day. Part of why we have the bits and pieces. We also have a quote of the day. We're really, you know, it's like if people are going to have to swallow hard truths and get into stuff that's tough, because some of the news, frankly, is very
And let me also say, your site is very colorful. Lots of colors and different things. It's very pleasing to the eye, and your eye moves around in your site. There are some other sites that are not quite like that. I like your layout.
Thank you very much. That was our aim from the start. We said, you know, if we want to reach, like, massive numbers of people, which is really what we're looking to do, we're eventually looking to eventually have an audience. We're talking of, like, 4 or 5 million people so that we can have a really, really huge impact in the world. And we actually want to have daily source sites around the world that are geographically based, like in Dublin, Ireland, in Jerusalem, in New York City, in San Francisco, in Chicago, in Dallas, all of the major cities, we actually want to have a geographically focused website that is dailysource.org that just covers nothing but politics and education and all of the local things within that geographic area.
And I gather by your area code that you're in Boston now, right?
Yes, that is correct. I'm actually at the moment visiting Sarasota, attempting to do some fundraising and some networking and some different things of that sort. So I'm actually kind of on the south side of where you guys are headed towards Nokomis. But most of the time I actually spend in the Massachusetts area, and that's where I'm based out of. But the incredible thing is actually our journalists are all around the country and all around the world. We have volunteers and people are working from us from Atlanta, from California, from Reno, Nevada, from New York City. We even had a volunteer from France for a while, who was one of our proofreaders. So great thing about the internet is, I mean, you guys are live on the internet right now, right? You guys are streaming.
That's correct.
I understand someone earlier said they hadn't had the stream going, and I think that's incredible that you can reach out from, you know, here in Sarasota, Florida. You can reach the whole continent and the whole world.
So what do you do? You stay up all night and gather all this news, and you're not one of these people that like gets to bed at like 6 o'clock in the morning, are you?
Believe it or not, this is true. I work pretty late. Last night I was working until 5:30 in the morning. So all of this is coming to you on 3 hours of rest or so. So hopefully
driving on fumes.
Articulate. Yes, exactly. And so, I mean, I'm largely doing that because our web developer is based overseas, so is on a different time zone. We have another web developer here in the U.S., but one of them is in a different country, in the Philippines, so I use a lot of time that's close to his schedule to work with that. You know, I pretty much do whatever's called for the organization, whether it be getting up to talk to you guys at this hour or working late to do whatever's
yeah,
needed.
So let me just say,
we have people working
yes.
around the clock, though. We have almost 24 hours a day, editors and volunteers working on the site. And actually, most of my time is spent, you know, organizing those folks and helping to build the site and helping to build the readership and the fundraising. And so they really do the bulk of the day-to-day updating the site, and they have a lot of latitude to do what they want. I don't spend a lot of time instructing people or getting involved in the particular decisions day-to-day of what runs. They have very clear guidelines of quality. We really emphasize that a lot when we're hiring people and when we are looking at how well they're doing on the site, is what our quality standards are for accuracy, for fairness, for balance.
Yeah, so what are they?
Okay, well, this is great. Let me just say, first off, if you want to read more on that there's a whole section on, for anybody who wants to get more in-depth, there's a whole section on our site called How We Choose Articles, and there's also another section on, like, why our quality is the best. The wire quality that is the best is pretty easy.
And how about the one that says, how come you're the most humble of everybody?
That was adorable. I like that. Well, you know what the funny thing is I will say right now, one of the reasons why we're incredibly humble is we have a very small readership. We've only been live for 4 months at this point. We're probably have a smaller readership than you guys have a listenership in Sarasota, Florida.
Let's see, there's my mom,
yeah.
My sister,
yeah.
my friend.
No, I think you guys actually have a pretty strong listenership in that I was 2 days ago, one of our volunteers is actually based right here in Sarasota, and he emailed me and said, hey, I noticed you're going to be on WSLR. So clearly you guys have a following, and I've talked to a number of other people that listen to you guys. So I think you guys do have a pretty strong listenership, and, you know, we're working to reach that level. So honestly, right now, at this stage, we could easily fall on our face and fail. I mean, easily, in a pinch, if we don't get funding and we don't get the word out about it. Now, the place where I'm not humble in the least is that I will say that we have a rather incredible site simply because we have so many people working on it and working towards making the quality what it is. And the people that are involved are really great at doing it. And then the simple fact that we have all of the internet to choose from to find the best material, nobody can come close to that. CNN can't do that. CNN can't link to MSNBC. They can't link to the alternative sites. They can't link to the blogs. They pretty much want their own content, you know, or maybe some associated press. But we have the quality of the whole internet to choose from, thousands of sites.
What don't they want? That's important, too. What don't CNN, what things are they not reporting, like war deaths and things like that?
Absolutely. I mean, inevitably, and this has been pointed out a number of times in the whole media consolidation thing, is that the biggies have things that are on the table of Congress right now, and Congress is basically deciding their future. So to some extent, some of those people don't want to rock the boat. And a lot of it's also unconscious. You know, a lot of people are unconsciously not wanting to rock the boat because they want job security, because, you know, they want to bring bread home to their family. And so without even realizing it, a lot of them are a little bit safer than they really want to be deep down.
How many sites do you think an average person can actually pay attention to? I mean, your competition, as you say, with thousands of these things, and you're trying to get your voice heard, knowing that in the course of a busy day, people can probably, they're going to lock into one or two or three maybe of their favorite places to visit.
Yep, that's perfect, actually. That's why we started the site, because we realized, you know, people don't have 18 hours in a day to go around to hundreds of different sites and try to find the best stuff. So we figured, well, they're not going to have the time for that. Most people, you know, they have like 20, 30 minutes, sometimes an hour a day to scan the news. So when they sit down to do it, they probably want to find the best stuff that's available. So we figure we're going to go out, spend our time all day long putting it together, and also making the site look great. Like you mentioned a second ago, you want to also come to a place that is pleasing the eye and is enjoyable when you're there. So, yes, it is competitive, and at the same time, you know, we sort of designed it so that it would be the best information that's available to save people the time, and also the best visually, so you have the most enjoyment while you're at it.
What's really interesting, I think, like the New York Times, I read pretty much every day, is a great morning paper, but its website is a lousy source of news during the day.
Yes, it really is. And the look of the site is really horrible in many respects. I love the New York Times. They're one of the best newspapers that's out there. You know, give them a huge amount of credit for that. And that said, you go to their site, the whole bottom half is just straight print and straight text without any summaries. You go there, and it's almost overwhelming to the eye.
Plus, you have to pay extra for the interesting stuff.
Yeah, you have to pay extra for the interesting stuff. And frankly, the other thing, too, is who wants to have to log in? I mean, that's incredibly frustrating. You go to the Washington Post. I don't go to the Washington Post much because, honestly, I don't want to remember my username every day.
Exactly.
My password and then go look it up.
You know, there are these browsers that will remember it for you.
But if you
travel a lot like I do and you're working out of hotel computers, or you have to remember in any event what you're...
All right, Peter, I have a question.
So the other part, too, about some of the browsers is that some will remember it using cookies, and then once you delete your cookies, because sometimes you have to for tech reasons, like, you know, you call a place like, delete your cookies.
Right.
And then I know there's actually a way to save many of them even beyond cookies, but that's a little bit my mom never in a million years would come close to getting that one. And even myself, who's kind of reasonably tech savvy, I actually even have trouble getting that part to work.
Peter, quick question, just to follow up on the last thing you were saying, because you're very proud of the content and the look and feel of your website. Where do your reporters get their news? I mean, are we ultimately all dependent on the print media and the local news gatherers for the information that we get? Because you and others are a long way away from being able to field your own grassroots reporters.
That's a big problem with the internet.
That's a great point. To first answer your question, honestly, yes, we are still largely dependent upon that. I think that two things need to happen. One is that there needs to be more funding for sites that are similar to ours of any sort that are nonprofit and that are independent and have a greater willingness to go out and dig for things that, that other folks aren't willing to do. And right now, I honestly don't think in the popular mindset that people are committed to that yet. I mean, there's a growing movement towards it through shows like yours, and I believe you had Amy Goodman on from Democracy Now.
Well, she helped start this radio station. She's been all over this radio station.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Do you know her personally?
I don't know her personally.
She's a wonderful person. She's easy to talk to. My friends picked her up at the airport. She's just brilliant. I mean, they're just, what
that's
can you say
great.
About Amy?
Our volunteer from Sarasota, Joe Narodisky, actually came to us through hearing Amy Goodman speak. He called us up the week that we went live, and he actually sent me an email saying, "Is this real?" And I said to him, "What do you mean?" He just said, "It just seems so good that is this like a real thing?" And he, I guess he had recently seen Amy Goodman, and maybe when she was down here helping start the station. So congratulations and thanks for getting us a volunteer.
Yeah, and let me also
directly out of that.
And make sure you put Greg Pallast on your site too. He's a great reporter, and he's just completely censored by television here.
He does some great investigative reporting. Yeah.
Right. Go back to your point though, just to finish your point.
Oh yes, yes. So honestly, I think it's a growing thing in the U.S., an awareness that people are going to need to kick a little bit of individual financial support towards all of these different entities that are doing this. But ultimately, they're going to save a ton of money. If you look at the Iraq War, I don't know what the figure is up to, but the average, you know, taxpayer, I think, is already paying around $1,200 or $1,300 out of their pocket. And if they have a four-person family, I think you can quadruple that number. And so even just to think about your health news, like what you're reading about your own health, or tech decisions that you're going to make, or the whole gamut of information is so important, actually, to our financial security individually and as a country, that I think more people will get on board once they become aware of it.
Are you going to start looking for advertisers?
I think what we are very hesitant about doing advertising. It's sort of our last plan if other things don't come through is to do advertising. One is we don't really want to clutter the site. That's a major motivation, and at present we feel like other modes of going about it are much better. I mean, one thing is we could do similar to NPR and PBS is maybe have a few sponsors of the site. You know, in addition to grants and individual donations, is have a section where like these groups are helping to sponsor the site. But even then, we don't want to do an excessive amount of that because we want most of our funding to come from the public, so that we're not reliant upon saying, okay, this company is funding, 35% of our budget. Well, we better be careful of that. You know,
right.
We always want everything to be small enough that we're completely independent about what we do. And now, as far as the reporting things on their own, for organizations like ours, we're definitely trying to do that in long term, is to have our own staff to cover areas that in particular are underreported right now. Now, at any given time, that can change. So what we would probably do is have like a set of a team of like freelancers that we could say, okay, like right now, Medicare bill that's in Congress or something needs more in-depth reporting on it. We could send a person to look at that. A classic example we talked about before the war in Iraq, there was very little coverage. Now, that said, part of my impetus for starting it was that I saw on page 839 of the Washington Post a media notes column by Howard Kurtz where he interviewed Norman Schwarzkopf, who was the guy from the Persian Gulf War. And he was saying it was a bad idea months before the war actually took place. And it occurred to me as if Norman Schwarzkopf, who was on the front page every day for months and months, before, and his opinion mattered so much. You know, for starters, he's only getting page 839 coverage in one paper in the whole U.S. But if you can find that paper, that can be the front page of your site, you know, if you're running a dailysource.org like ours or another similar site. So even the most underreported ones, there's usually still like one needle in the haystack, you know, one out of 100 reporters that are doing a great job on it.
Can we segue off of mechanisms for a little bit and ask you your opinion about something?
Of course.
Who do you like in 2008?
As far as winning goes or as far
who do you like and who do you think's got a chance?
Well, let me say personally who I tend to like best myself. I personally am on the Obama camp, so to speak. I feel like he's very intelligent. I feel like he listens well. I think he's well-spoken. And I just, frankly, enjoy him. There's something about him that I like. Now, that said, I'm not in any sense, like, strongly committed to that. I'm kind of type who's always willing to wait to the last minute to make a decision and really see who's best. But as far as who's going to make it, you know, in the Republican camp, I think that Giuliani has a shot. I think he might actually prove to be weaker over the course of time than people expect him to be. I think McCain is going to come out the strongest overall. I think that Gingrich, McCain and Giuliani are all going to drain each other's level of support somewhat, because Giuliani and McCain are both fairly moderate Republicans, right? And so they're going to some extent split the moderate Republican vote.
All right, I'm going to break in here.
Yeah, sure, go
because
ahead.
Because this show is about news.
Yeah.
I want less opinion. I want more news.
Yes.
Okay, so
okay,
I'm going to cut
sure.
you off
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fine.
And I'm
going
to put you
it.
On the global warming hot
sure.
seat.
Okay.
Are you ready to be on the global warming hot seat?
I will do my best. It's
all right.
Feeling pretty hot today down here, so
there
I'm
you
already
go.
On it.
And I understand you don't read all the news items. So I'm going to quiz you.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
All right,
ahead.
So
yeah,
tell me, in the global warming hot seat, what's the link with cows? It was in the news. It was reported by The Guardian, which is an independent nonprofit in England, where
yeah,
we
like
get a lot
Guardian.
Of our news
they
work.
They do good work. Yeah.
All right, so March
work,
22nd,
yeah.
The Guardian reported something about cows and global warming. Do you know what it was?
I'll take my best guess, because even though I don't get to read every news item each day, I'm pretty good at remembering stuff. And I would guess that at least what I know about cows is that they consume rather large amounts of land environmentally when they graze, and that it's not quite.
I think Steve may be thinking of the other end of the cow. But
all right, so how about
the other end of the cow? Oh my goodness, I never really thought of that. Okay, so are they making a real impact negatively with their waste, or is it more of a positive plus?
Actually, the other end, cow burps.
Oh, it's burps.
Oh,
no, you were right the first time.
Oh, wow.
Peter, we're trying to help you here, Peter, but not doing it very
well. Wait a minute, guys.
Good
I have
try.
A follow-up question.
Yes.
According to scientific estimates, when cows burp, they produce methane gas. How much?
Oh, no.
How much of total greenhouse emissions of methane is from cow burps?
Oh, no. Oh, goodness.
According to German scientists.
I can't even guess.
I know.
4%. And the German scientists invented
4% of the total greenhouse emissions?
4%.
About
methane,
the same as Schwarzenegger's Hummer.
Just methane.
Oh, my goodness.
And a German scientist invented a pill, an anti-cow burp pill, to fight global warming.
Do you think cows will replace a wood-burning stove in New England? You just light
no
a match in front of his mouth.
I guess it must be all the grass.
It to the Germans to fix that, right? It's like something as unorganized as a burp. You know, they better get that organized real quick.
Absolutely.
get that on track. That's incredible. Now, I read, or somebody was telling me recently that, and this was surprising too, but in Sarasota, the amount of land waste or of waste that ends up on land from the local dog population was a rather enormous sum. It was something like in the millions of pounds or something. If I come back, I'll try to get the information.
Yes, and
on
be
that
careful. Don't mention any of those words that will get us thrown off the air.
Yes, that's right. I was very careful. I was trying to think of.
All right,
like,
speaking. Be careful where you walk.
Excuse me. I'd like the mic here. Speaking of dogs.
Yes.
Adam Sandler was in the news, according to the Associated Press,
okay.
March 21st.
Okay.
What did he do having to do with dogs?
I read this, actually. I believe he interviewed his dog on the late night show with Debra Letterman, and I believe he was sitting in for Letterman. Or an illness or something.
Full
he
credit.
He interviewed his dog.
Precisely, yeah. He was a last-minute fill-in, and he said, no, I wasn't used to doing interviews, so let me warm up by interviewing my dog.
Now, was his dog intelligent? Did his dog have much responsiveness? Because, like the dog whisperer comes on TV, and they're almost like having a conversation in private right in front of the camera. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen it. I've heard about it, but I haven't
Yeah, the
seen
dog
it.
Whisperer is rather amazing. I saw him actually on one of the late night shows one night, and he actually, he's talking to the dog, and the dog is doing different things, and, it's incredible. I mean, some dogs are incredibly intelligent, more so
and
than
so others. Is Adam Sandler, and I've heard reported that he is just a wonderful person to deal with in movies and in productions.
Really? Really? Well, I love that movie that he was in with I think it was called 50 First Dates or 20 First Dates.
Yes.
He seems like a great human, yeah.
All right, another quiz. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right, another quiz for you.
Three.
Something
okay.
having to do with the Grand Canyon.
I'm batting one of two. Okay,
Associated Press, March 20th, so a few days ago.
Okay, I'm on
right?
that. Yeah,
so they
yeah,
built
yeah.
something.
Yes.
Amazing.
Skywalk,
what did they do?
Right?
A glass-bottom yeah. skywalk, right?
I thought that was, initially when I saw it, it looked like something from afar that was like a, almost like a sort of horseshoe or
Correct.
A paperclip
yeah.
sticking out over the canyon. And
Without
then,
any support underneath.
It's amazing. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It really is. It reminds me there was a Bob Dylan song called Last Thoughts on Woody Guthrie. And he went through and he talked about that for all of the ills and problems and things that are going on in the world, there's two roads, one being all these things about Woody Guthrie opening the door, et cetera, et cetera. The other one was about, like, God or the church of your choice. And then he said, it may be my opinion and I might be right or wrong, but you find them both sundown at the Grand Canyon.
Oh, very
And nice. I thought of that when I read that story. That thing was just jutting out there sort of in, like, a sunset sky just right in the middle of the canyon. Incredible overlooking it, yeah. And for anybody who's ever gone out there, it's rather incredible even standing at the edge of it. But can you imagine being in the middle of it, up in the air?
Yeah.
Peter, in the name of journalistic inquiry, would you walk out on it?
I'm a little bit hesitant. Even when I was standing on the edge there, I remember feeling a little bit like, wow, that's really intense. And from afar, I would perhaps say no, but honestly, when I actually got there and I saw that it was secure, I'd probably be secure enough and walk out.
they're not planning, Larry. They're not planning on putting a slot machine at the end of that, are they?
Well, they are. What do you bet that's
to
follow?
Oh, my goodness.
Because their market audience is the people from Las Vegas.
It'll be like a $100 million like lotto ball or something like that.
Yeah, but what happens when you what happens when you lose?
They'll put a trap. They'll have a trap door for the loser.
That'll be a true lotto. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. How about this one?
A new Russian roulette.
This was a little bit older news item. Michael Jackson is charging fans for 30-second meetings, according to AP, March 4th. How much does he charge for 30 seconds with Michael Jackson?
How does he do that? For starters,
and hundreds of fans in Japan.
Can we sign up for that program too?
Well, this was actually in Japan at Narita Airport. Okay, and they're saying we love Michael. How much for?
Was it $3,500?
Correct.
Excellent.
Nice.
Excellent.
Good memory. And that's a March 4th item.
March 4th? Oh, wow.
He said with his gloves on or without?
Oh, man.
I think they make him keep his gloves on.
He gets 20 years if you stay all night.
Oh, man. Well, how do we do that? I mean, you could get $3,500. Is it per minute, was it? No, per 30 seconds?
30 seconds.
There'd be a fundraising drive, right, for WFLR?
Come and meet Peter Dunn.
I've got a great question for you. Who knows what Scooter Libby's real name is? It was just revealed.
His middle name begins, initial is I.
Initial I?
Yes.
Yeah. Ivan?
No.
Oh, gosh, that was a wild
close,
guess.
Though.
Close.
Isaac?
Close, but no cigar.
Think more rural than urban.
So what makes this a great surreal story is that this was kept secret for a long time, and even the White House didn't know about this. This is the surreal twist.
Really?
And it was only during
the
trial
House.
That this came out. It was kept secret from the White House, from everybody. Apparently, Scooter did not want his name, Irwin, or Irv, to get out in the public.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. So did it come out in some mundane excuse of, like, asking him what his name was at the start or something, and he had to admit, oh, well, my name's Irwin.
That's all I know, but I just tell you, came out.
That's incredible.
You didn't know about
well,
it.
Well, as Don Imus said the other morning, you don't want to go to prison with a nickname Scooter.
Oh no! Oh my gosh! That is the joke to end all jokes. That's incredible. And I believe actually in Harvard Square, which is where I did retail once upon a time. I believe that Imus. Do they broadcast out of Harvard Square? Am I remembering correctly?
This most recent one, I think, was in downtown in the. Four Seasons, I think, downtown Boston.
Oh, in the Four Seasons. Oh, you know, I'm thinking of the Car Talk guys.
Oh, yeah, they're in Harvard Square.
The Car Talk guys.
Click and Clack.
Click and Clack. They have a sign outside of their office on the second floor. It looks like a law office. The sign on the outside. You know what it says? It says Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Yes.
I don't know if they say that much on the air.
That's their law firm.
They
claim at the end of the program.
It's truly there. So it's on, right. It's on the
I got another one for you. This one's tough. Okay, extra credit here, according to Life Science, March 17th.
Oh, I love Life Science. That's a great site, by the way.
Okay, good. So maybe you'll get this one.
Great.
Studied the macho attitude of men
how
it affects healing. This is a health item. So what's the link between macho men and healing?
If I remember correctly, it is a placebo effect whereby if they think that they are tough and they're going to get through it, it actually has some effect on their health, placebo-wise, in creating the health to occur.
That's right.
As a healthcare professional myself, you don't have to use the word placebo. It had an effect.
Yes, it had an effect. Yes,
so if you say placebo, you're assuming that there's no actual science behind it.
Yes.
So we don't want to make that. That wasn't part of the story. The story was it had an effect. So we try to be accurate.
We
correct
do our best.
And just
anytime,
make sure we get it right.
Here's the thing. Anytime you want to correct me, go right ahead. I am all for it. I think that's the best thing possible.
So if you're really...
We all need to do that more.
So if you're really a virile guy, it'll work even if you have a self-concept that you're a wuss. It's truly an effect of being a tough guy.
Of thinking you're a tough guy. It's kind of, I'm going to tough it out kind of attitude.
If you play the Village People loud and dance to Macho Man, I think you'll be right on track. Right?
And let me just interject just a teeny amount of science here, and that if you're sort of macho and you can tough it out, you're going to release adrenaline. Adrenaline is going to... get your juices flowing and your hormones going, and probably will boost your immune system and other things. And there's probably a physiologic connection there.
Yeah, right. I think that's all correct. And I think even positive thinking to some extent can get a positive effect on the body and on the health. I think a lot of studies in the past show that. And then I think it's also true to some extent that it's sort of an effect. It's not sort of a cure-all for everything. You can have positive thinking and think you're a tough guy, and your cancer might still continue. You might need to go to the hospital and get...
Well, I was remembering Norman Cousins' book on years ago on laughter, as in positive thinking as a healing effort in his cancer. I was thinking of that yesterday watching the Edwards talk about her cancer, that upbeat, positive attitude... is likely to have very healing effects for her.
I understand we're trying to cure the Medicaid debacle that we have right now, the big shortfall, instead of increasing the amounts that the administration is going to give to the states, they're going to show John Wayne movies on a 24-hour rotating basis.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, and let me just report a news item associated with that.
Amazing. All right, go right ahead.
It was reported that immigration laws requiring people to have IDs has cut way back, and many people are not able to get their Medicaid benefits because of the new immigration laws.
It's supposed to filter out people who don't have IDs, and it's actually filtering out old people who just can't remember where they put them.
Oh my goodness.
Do you know where your birth certificate is? I don't.
They can't find their,
and let me just tell you, that was reported in the New York Times March 11th. The headline was U.S. citizens excluded from Medicaid as anti-illegal immigrant law backfires.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh, and that's actually kind of sad, because that's very dangerous.
Yeah, so they're required to show birth certificates.
That's dangerous if somebody doesn't get their medicine on time.
Well, when the feds went in and busted that workplace up in the Boston area a couple of weeks ago, it was in Fall River, I guess Southern Massachusetts, somewhere, but they pulled out all those illegal immigrants, and then they didn't think about all the little kids that were at home stranded without their parents.
Wow.
Very bad negative side effects.
Yes, so those raids are leaving kids stranded.
Yes, 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 that's right. And then there was, of course, the funny joke of a month and a half or two ago when they figured out about building the fence along the Mexican border, and then it actually I think it turned out they were using legal immigrants to help build it.
Yes, they work cheap.
Oh, you can't get better than that, Peter.
And actually, I think Saturday Night Live even had a joke saying, like, you have to build it from one side because otherwise, if you build it from the other, you could be stuck.
All right, according to the Washington Post, March 11th, what came out about plastics and health? Any guesses?
Ooh, I don't even have a good guess.
All right, how about, does bisphenol A in 95% of people tested ring a bell?
No.
And affected animals, bisphenol A, and this is according to CDC, had an effect on people and animals. Obesity.
Wow.
So it's thought that the plastics, bisphenol A, causes abnormal changes in animals and humans' sexual development, and also triggers fat cell activity. Here's the word. Adipogenesis, like adipose tissue, genesis.
Wow.
So that means, Steve, you can drink Coca-Cola from a can, and it's perfectly all right, but you drink it from a plastic bottle, and you're going to get fat.
I'm not going to go near that.
That's incredible, because just a week or two ago, somebody was telling me the thing about plastic bottles, and also if you keep refilling your water in them, because I've heard it several times, but I'd never in any time come across any direct information, like a study on it. And so I said, gosh, you know, I'm really looking forward to when a study comes out. So you guys just hooked me up with that. That's good information to have. Yeah.
All right, so we've run over the hour here.
The whole thing of health with information, of just even the little things that affect our health, that it's worth it to fund news organizations, because your own health is going to benefit from it.
We're talking with Peter Dunn, and Peter, as our time gets up, would you like to remind our listeners one more time the address of your website and any other information about your organization, and we'll then say goodbye for a very happy time with you.
Yeah, that would be great. I really appreciate the time so far. Our website address is dailysource.org. You can also get there by typing in the .com moniker. Or
I noticed that was clever. If you forget it goes automatically.
You can do everything. You can pretty much whatever you want. The dailysource.com, dailysource.net. You know, as long as you get Daily Source in there, we pretty much covered the gamut on it. It took some effort and some money for it, but that way, you know, it's real easy for folks. And, you know, you can find us on the internet at that. If you want more information about what we're about, the site has stuff about how we choose the news, has a lot of great media information on it, too. And you can also email us at info@dailysource.org, or you can call me up if you want. My cell phone number is 617-459-7709. Call if you want. And thank you guys for having me here today. It's been a great pleasure, and I really appreciate what you're about.
Good. And before you sign off, let me just say, Peter, I want to talk to you later off the air about some projects, and I can share with our listeners that there are some projects in the wings to try to hook up websites with the media, radio, TV, etc. I've been involved with some of those. Let's talk off the air and see if we can have a collaboration and get your effort out there in the media, and we'll handle that. If anybody out there wants to help out with DailySource.com, call Peter Dunn. Get in if anybody wants to help out the radio station or has links to media, get in touch with me, Steve, at The Surreal News, thesurrealnews.com, if they'd like to be involved with any media or news-related projects. We have those going on in the wings.
Thanks, Peter.
WSLR, great station. Keep up the great work.
Thank you a lot.
All right, Peter, and we will be podcasting. I will send you a link to that as soon as I get home and get my act together.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that entirely. A great day talking to you guys, and we'll be in touch later today or tomorrow on that.
Great.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks a lot. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Peter Dunn of Daily Source. Great guest.